The gospel reading appointed for this morning is found in the first chapter of John, beginning with the 43rd verse. The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip came and called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The gospel of our Lord and Savior. Thanks be to Christ. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock, our redeemer. The theme this morning is all about call. Good job, Carol. It's about call. And it's true, as you saw from Samuel, that sometimes God has to beat you over the head. Sometimes as many as three times. Yeah, amen. But God does call. And sometimes it's in our experiences of life. And it, like Carol said, sometimes it dawns on you, maybe God's trying to tell me something. At other times it's not. I know people who've just been walking around, they hear their first name. Like somebody was saying it out loud. Of course it's not. No one else can hear it, but right in here it says, you know. Many of you, I'm sure, have experienced that. How many of us stop right then and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant listens"? Rarely. Say, "Boy, that was weird." Go right on. I've even been guilty of that. Hear my name, John, just as clear as if somebody were saying it loudly and there's no one around. But nowadays, I've changed that attitude. Now I say, "Speak, Lord." God speaks in his own way, and he calls in his own way. I think a lot of times we miss out on what the Bible's trying to tell us, simply because our context is so different from the context of when it was written. It was written a long time ago. The Word of God. It was also a product of that culture and their environment. And none of that we share. Not the social structure, nothing. We read about it, we know about it sometimes if we study. But we don't share it. We miss a lot of the references that would have been obvious to the first readers and the hearers of these stories. For example, what's the business about the fig tree in today's gospel lesson? It seems to play an important role. It's where Nathanael was sitting before Philip called him. And the fact that Jesus had seen him there seems to be a big deal to Nathanael, causing Nathanael to recognize Jesus as the Son of God and the King of Israel. I thought about that and I didn't completely get it. So I began to read. I read one scholar who claims that fig trees were places of contemplation where deep thinkers went to think deep thoughts. And Jesus recognized Nathanael as being a serious scholar and a learned man. Another account said that mothers in ancient times sent their children to play under fig trees. And that Jesus, having seen Nathanael under one of those fig trees, was an indication that Nathanael had been called since his youth. Also read that the fig tree was representative of Israel as a whole, and that Jesus was being sarcastic when he called Nathanael an Israelite in whom there was no deceit. Israel itself, the patriarch Jacob, became patriarch through deceit and extortion. So an Israelite without deceit is a contradiction in terms, at least to the original hearers. And according to this understanding, Nathanael appreciated Jesus' quick comeback to his own insult about nothing good coming out of his hometown of Nazareth. And that caused their relationship to grow. Any one of these interpretations can be correct or none of them. And whatever we choose to believe about the fig tree will influence how we interpret the call of Nathanael. Like the rest of the Bible, the original context of that exchange has been lost to us. And we may never know what it really meant. The reading from 1 Samuel was also a product of its culture and its environment. At least it begins on a note we can understand and relate to. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. And I think it's safe to say that the word of the Lord is rare in these days too, and visions are definitely not widespread. At least most people who have visions learn pretty quickly not to tell other people, not really to share that, because our society doesn't react very kindly to people who see and hear things that others do not. And apparently the same in Samuel's day. I enjoy this story about Samuel. Not only was the word of the Lord rare, but Samuel himself did not yet know the Lord. He was ministering to the Lord under Eli, yet he did not know him. We might wonder if Samuel knew that he didn't know the Lord. He had been given to Eli as an offering to the Lord by his mother when he was still a toddler. They'd been ministering to the Lord under Eli's tutelage ever since. But you know how it is when you're raised to something since childhood. You don't think too much about it. You don't question why you do what you do. You just do it because that's the way you were raised. Many of us begin to question later in life, but Samuel's not at that point yet. He's still a young boy, and he's ministering to the Lord, though he doesn't not yet know the Lord. To be perfectly honest, I think that description is accurate for many of us, if not a lot of us. Why do you come to church on Sunday? Why do you serve on committees? Does what you learn and hear here on Sunday impact what you do outside? At home, at work, with your friends, with your family, with your acquaintances, and in the quiet moments that occur throughout your life? And if so, why? If not, you might question, well, why do you come? We confess Christ as Lord, but do we really know Christ as Lord? Or do we just do what we do because it's what we've always done? Or at least what we've done for some period of time? I don't think there's any shame in that if it's the case. No need to be ashamed. You have faith in God and in His promises. You either believe in Christ or you're reaching for faith in Christ. So it doesn't speak ill of you as a person. It doesn't even make you a less worthy Christian. It simply puts you in the same category as Samuel, who was ministering to the Lord even though he did not know him. What really strikes me is what happens when the Lord finally does call Samuel. It's not surprising that Samuel mistakenly thinks it's Eli that's talking to him. You hear a voice calling your name. You assume at first, at least, that it's just someone around or in the same building. So Samuel's not getting it as a surprise. What is surprising is that Eli doesn't get it for a while either. Presumably, Eli did know the Lord. He was in line with the ancestral priests that were anointed since the days of Moses. And a few verses before the start of today's reading, the Lord sent a word just for him through a man of God. Yet even though he knew the Lord, he didn't recognize it right away when the Lord revealed himself to Samuel. I think that's good news for all of us. Because as I said before, some of us are like Samuel, ministering to the one we do not know. But others of us are ministering to one we do know. And still we don't always get it. And that's okay. Because whether we're like Samuel or whether we're like Eli, God will continue to call us until we get it. He doesn't get frustrated with us. He doesn't give up on us. This text from 1 Samuel is often used exactly as I just did. To affirm God's steadfast love, he calls us by name. But it's not that easy when you read what's in the brackets of a study Bible. It's kind of like being in Bible study. It's pretty simple till you start reading some of the side notes, which we should do. After God called Samuel, he had some other things to say to Eli. Samuel is told that Eli's sons have been done evil in the sight of the Lord, and that they must die. They did. Furthermore, God is revoking the ancestral priesthood from Eli's family. And the good fortune that they have enjoyed ever since the day of the Exodus, they're over. Samuel's mission, if he should choose to accept it, is to tell this to Eli, the man who has raised him and nurtured him and given him all kindness for most of his life. He follows God the rest of his life, and it's not an easy life. The people reject God, using Samuel, if you remember, and insisting that an earthly king be appointed over them. God, after some time, allows it to happen and instructs Samuel to anoint Saul. Samuel is then witness to Saul's failure as a king. And again, according to God's instruction, he anoints David. Samuel doesn't live to see the epic struggle between David and Saul and dies wondering if he really accomplished anything during his priesthood. We know the end of the story. We know that David took the throne and ruled Israel. We know that his son Solomon inherited the throne upon his father's death. And Solomon caused the split between the northern and the southern kingdoms. And we know that the northern kingdom of Israel was conquered by the Assyrians not long after the split, around 712 B.C. And that the southern kingdom fell to the Babylonians in 586 B.C. We know that a remnant of Israel returned to the promised land after Babylonia was conquered by the Persians, who were later subdued by the Romans, who allowed Israel to exist as a part of Rome. And we know that it was into this situation that God sent his son, the Word made flesh, to again call us by name. All these events were set into motion by Samuel obeying God's call. Philip, Jesus said, follow me. Nathanael, Jesus said, follow me. You will see things greater than these. And Nathanael did. He saw the ministry of Jesus. He saw the death of Jesus. He saw in the upper room that Jesus had been resurrected. He saw the Spirit of God descend on Pentecost. And he saw the early church grow, even as she struggled. And when he died, he too probably wondered if he had accomplished anything during his discipleship. Maybe we all wonder at one point whether we've really made any difference or not. Don't lose faith. And the fact that we are here today, me here, you sitting there, is a testimony that Nathanael did make a difference. God's call is that prevenient grace of God reaching out to you through Christ in some mystical, holy, spiritual way that we will never understand in this life. Nathanael followed Christ and others came and saw. And the Lord, whom he can never fully understand or will know. But the Lord did the rest. And how about the significance of that fig tree? You know, it really doesn't matter. All we know is someone said to Nathanael, come and see. When he asked about Jesus, and he did. It's a pattern that has been repeated millions of times through the centuries, right down to us today. And it's that same pattern that we're called to repeat ourselves. We're here today because someone at some time said, come and see, and we did. And now we're continually hearing Christ say, follow me. Even though we don't know where exactly he'll lead, we don't know where he'll lead us on this earth, but assured that he will ultimately lead us back to himself, and that he will never forsake us along the journey, no matter how difficult. And that he will never stop calling out to us if we get lost or confused along the way. The old expression, you may leave God, you may forsake Christ, but they'll never leave you. And once you know that, you don't have to give a fig about the contextual details in a 2,000-year-old story. Thanks be to God. Amen.